Hallelujah, 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 Jesus, Safe House Church. Good morning. I hope that you have decided within yourself today that my life, I know, is not my own, and I give it to the one who it belongs to. I give it to the one who was the giver of life, and he gave me this life that I may give it back to him through service, through his service here on this earth, that he set up a plan of redemption for you and I. Do you not know that you and I were born into sin? That was nothing that you did. All you had to do was be born of a woman, and you were born into sin. But he set forth a redemption plan that allowed you and I to have the right to the tree of life. And I'm just so grateful this morning to be before you this morning to break the word of life, to tell you that there is hope, that no matter what goes on and all the things that we see that's in our world, it seems like it's pulling us down and that's pulling us into despair, that has us gloom and doom, and it feels us that we feel of oppression and oppression, and we see people making decisions and doing things and on their own accord. But I am reminded, no matter how bad it gets, I'm reminded, no matter how bad it looks like the situation is coming apart and it's falling apart at the seams, that we have someone and we know that he holds tomorrow in his hand. And if we are willing to trust him, my Bible tells me that faith without works is dead. And if we are to hold on to that, and the work is that we've given our bodies as this sacrifice that's holy and acceptable and that's pleasing unto God, which he tells us is our reasonable service. And what he does is he protects us. He keeps us, not because he's a Santa Claus, but because he just loves us so much. He just loves us. Even if you didn't do what you're supposed to do, he is still what? He protects us. But us that do, there is a guarantee, there's a promise from God that we have. Good morning, brothers and sisters all around the world, red, black, yellow, white, that we all are precious in his sight. Welcome to the Safe House Church of Greensboro, North Carolina, where your pastor is Dr. Peter Ely, and I'm just so grateful, a.k.a. I like to call myself Greensboro's favorite pastor, and I'm speaking those things as if they were, because at some point in time when all of this is said and done, God is able, and I believe God is just going to do it, not just favor, but with favor. Why? Because God has given us favor to change the city, that things are going to be different because we're in the city. And it's not because of me, but it's because of the God I serve and the mandate that's on my life. And amen, you have to believe and know the mandate that God has put on your life. That some of you, God has told you to do some things, that some of us have gotten to the point because we see that, you know, I don't know how to do this, and I'm not sure about that, and I'm in this space, and I'm in that. But I'm here to tell you today, and I'm here also to tell you, from a point of view, that God has already started a work in you. He that has started a work in you is able to perform it until the day of redemption. So I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, be encouraged, be inspired to know that God is able to do each and everything that he said he's going to do. Now, if he said it, it's going to come to pass. Now, if we got into our own thinking, we saying things and we doing things, then that's a different thing. But if he said it, it has to come to pass. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to say, first off, thank you all to all the members of the Safe House Church. Pastor Ely loves you, and he misses you dearly. Many of you I've been able to call on the phone and be able to at least touch base with and see some of you. You know, amen. That's just the kind of pastor I am. You know, I care about each and every person that God has put in my vineyard and for me to be over as a flock, not over in authoritative, but over spiritually. And I'm praying for you all. And I hope that y'all praying for your pastor. The pastor, he has his days too. Amen. I'm not immune to this, that we all are in this space, but nonetheless, God is good and he's still worthy to be praised. And even if I decide to do something crazy, even if I decide, not saying that I am, but even if I decide, I'm here to tell you all that you all go on and you see what the end is going to be, because I'm nothing but a man who's been endowed with power from on high to be able to partake and break apart the word of life that God has given us here. And I'm just this man for this moment. You might be the woman for this moment that may be out there, because God can wait. He can move his hand however he chooses. Amen. He can, you know, you might be it today. You may not be it tomorrow. And you have to be okay with that. Amen. You know, for this is not an ego thing. This is not something that I just woke up one day and say, hey, I want to start a church. Hey, I want to do this. No, this has been years in the making. Amen. This has been years in going forward. And I want to say good morning to all of those, the beautiful people online. I wish I could see and come by and high five each and every one of you, but I give you that air high five right now. I'll give you a virtual fist pump. Amen. I'm just so grateful that I'm just so pumped that you all have decided to come in and stay with us for a little while. So I hope that you get to hear the message in its entirety. I know You know, many come in and out all the time. If you there, please feel free to make a comment. You know, we have the Periscope going on. We got the Facebook Live going on. We got the YouTube. We got the Zoom. We got all these different platforms going on all at the same time. And this just gives you opportunity to reach in many different ways. So at any given time, we might have 200-300 people, maybe a couple of thousand watching. Then sometimes it may be only 4 or 5. But I do believe that whoever God intend for them to watch and to get this message, that they get it in its entirety the way that he desires them to have it. Amen. And I'm just so grateful I want to give honor to my wife, Felicia Ely. Just so grateful to have her in this space and just her being an awesome woman and those two beautiful kids that I have, Preston and Madison. Daddy, y'all know that Daddy loves you, and I'm just appreciative of you all giving me my space. You know, sometimes, you know, in this walk, you know, it's a lonely walk sometimes, and you can't share everything with everybody, amen. And I'm just grateful that I have a spouse and I have friends, Bishop Nathaniel Isaac and others who and Bishop they call him Bishop Biggers, amen. You know, my dear friend Pastor Biggers and others from, you know, around the world that God has given us connection with. And sometimes, you know, we have to talk some things out, and Elder Antoine last year down there in Charlotte. So I'm just appreciative of the circle that God has given me to hold me accountable, amen, because we still work on accountability. So remember, Safe House Church, for those who may be your first time here, the Safe House Church, we believe God has called us the three pillars of our faith that we are to concentrate on, and those are DEA, not drug enticement, not drug enforcement agency, but DEA, that stands for discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. One thing that I will promise you here at the Safe House Church, we're going to teach you. You're going to get so much teaching. Teaching is what I do. It's my gift. And to be honest, I can do it without much effort. But then when I actually go in there and I really dig in there, y'all better watch out. Amen. You know, I used to have this thing on my email said, talent, you know, talent always be, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. So you can work hard at things and not be talented and do pretty good. But if you have talent and you decide to work hard at it, it's nothing that you can do. We see that Mr. LeBron James, we see the Michael Jordans, you know, those guys were already talented. And then they made a decision that they were going to work hard. And now they're the best in the world by far. Amen. The Tiger Woods of the world. When they made the decision that they were going to work hard on top of the talent, nothing they can do. And that's what I'm here to tell you today, is that gift and that talent that God has already given you. Yes, you're head and shoulders above most people already, just coming out the box. Because it's your talent. Amen. But I'm also here to tell you today that if you decide to put some work in there, I'm going to get in my message already. If you decide to put a little work into that talent that he's already given you, you're going to be far in the seat above anybody's expectation or where anybody would see you at. And it's nothing that they can do about it. It's absolutely nothing. The Bible said your gift will make room for you. And I'm here to tell you that, oh my goodness, I'm not trying to get in my message. Y'all let me get off that. But just know that you will get plenty of teaching here. Then we talk about empowerment, where we're in a position and we believe a church, this is a church of doing. The Bible said faith without works is dead. We can believe that calendar, that rock over here is going to move. But until I put my hands to the plow, until I decide that we're going to get together and we're going to come up with a strategy of how we're going to move this rock, then nothing's happening. Oh, come on, somebody. We can sit there and say, God is going to bless me with this. Until I put my hand to the plow, until I start doing the work, I can talk about it until I'm blue in the face. I can talk about it until I pass out. But there's some other pieces of that I must employ. So the empowerment is that we put people in position. We want you to go out. We want you to be leaders. What my job is to continually train myself out of a church is the way I see it. I know others would look at me and say, you got to be absolute crazy. No, because if you're training leaders, oh, come on, somebody. This is a church of leaders. The Safe House Church, we have leaders who come to us who've been wounded. We have new leaders that come to us to be trained. And this is a training ground for leaders. Amen. You know, most people who are in our church are leaders. There's no question about it. And you know what? One thing, what you find out is that you will attract that which you are. You know, I had no choice over my color. God made me a male and he made me a black man. So I know I have a tendency to attract males and black men, and that's okay. Amen. But also he made me a leader, and my leadership thing was not something that just happened overnight, but this has been a development over time. And it's a continual development of many people from the past and my present and even in my future who continually pour into my life to teach me leadership. And I walk out in this, and this is what we do at the Safe House Church, is that we train leaders so that you can go back in those places and you can be what God has called you to be, because he's called all of us to go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come. So it's not just me, but it's also you. Amen. So leaders train leaders. And then what happens is when leaders know leaders are ready to go, they release them. Oh, come on, somebody. Yes, I would love to have a church full of thousands and thousands of people. But the truth of the matter is, if I got 1,000 leaders out there, come on, somebody, you got to look at it for what it is. You got 1,000 leaders out there who lead another 1,000 leaders, who lead another 1,000. That's what I'm talking. Woo, y'all give me in my message right now. But nonetheless, that's what we do. Then the last part is accountability. I know that's a cuss word in these days and time, that people want to hold people accountable for what they say and what they do and where they find themselves at. Accountability is important in all that we do. Why? Because it brings everything back full circle. You just don't do things just to be doing things. You just don't say things to be saying things. But there is a word and there's a piece of accountability in that. So thank you for being here with us on this day. So I'm going to get into real quickly those who are on those Periscope, Facebook, YouTube, all those other places. If you can share this link, hit the share button right now. Somebody else needs to hear this powerful word that's about to go forth this morning. And I just believe that I have a word from God on this morning to help a lot of people that we've been in this place, and some of us have suffered with this thing called validation. Oh, come on, somebody. How many of you, if you give me a virtual fist bump if you suffered with validation before? Ha! Let me get a hand or type in amen or throw an emoji up or something. Let me know, have you ever suffered with validation? I don't know about you, but you know, as I go up different levels and different things, and God has exposed me to different places and different kinds of people, that sometimes I've struggled with this thing called validation. You know, you want to feel that you belong in the space. You want to feel like you part of the group, and you want to feel that, you know what, for some reason I'm supposed to be here, not that I'm just an imposter, that I'm just a foreigner in this particular part of the woods or this particular part of place that I'm in. Amen. So this morning, if you would, let's go to our Bibles. You know, this is a Bible belief in church. Amen. I believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God, and from cover to cover. And the thing is, I tell anybody, anytime we start meeting anybody and we start talking, and you know, people want to have debates and they want to have discussions with you, and all that is good and fine, amen. But one thing that we must be reminded is that if they do not believe that this is the word of God, they do not believe it from cover to cover, then we have nothing to talk about. Because see, the problem is this: if you don't believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God, then we're going to disagree on everything that we go from that point forward anyway. Do you see what I'm saying? Because I'm going to use the Bible as my reference. Every time I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to point to scripture. I'm going to point to text where God has said certain things in the scripture or in the text. Amen. And so I don't come of my own accord, but I use that to what? To support my positioning, because this is what God said, not what I said. Are y'all with me? So that is important. So I always start that conversation. So if you meet somebody that wants to debate and have all this talk, if they don't even believe that this is the word of God, then we have nothing to even stand on. Because, excuse me, in a debate, you must have a absolute. Excuse me, I'm trying to get a hook up here. Sorry about that. Amen. So the emphasis of a debate, when you're having a debate with somebody, the first thing is, like I said, you have to have some absolutes. And the absolute for us, if we're going to talk about anything, that we have to agree that the Bible is the infallible word of God. Amen. So I want you to go with me real quickly to Genesis 29. And for those who don't have it, you know, I'm going to pop this up on the screen with you all. Genesis, the 29th chapter. And we're going to start at verse 20. Genesis 29, we're going to start at verse 20. Amen. Let me get rid of that for you. Genesis 29 and verse 20. All right, and it says this: and Jacob served. I'm out of the screen. Okay, a little bit. All right. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go unto her." And Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went unto her. And Labor gave unto his daughter Leah Zephiah, his maid, for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said unto Labor, what is thou hast done unto me? And did I not serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou been beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. So then fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. All right. Would you also turn with me to 2 Timothy? We're going to 2 Timothy. By the way, shout out to BlueLetterBible.org. I tell you all, this is a wonderful resource. It's free. They just have a great thing here. Uh-oh, did I put enough in there? 2 Timothy 2 and 15. My bad. 2 Timothy 2 and 15, it says this. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Last verse, would you could put a piece of paper in your Bible on those, because I'm going to be coming back between the three of them, and I wanted to hit these first. Last verse here, I'm going to go to Psalms. It's Psalms 75, and I'm going to go to verse 6. Psalm 75, verse 6. And it says this. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He put it up, put it down one, and setteth up another. Hallelujah, hallelujah. While you got your Bibles and you're holding that in your hand, hallelujah, Jesus. Woo! Mm-hmm. I feel you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Let's go into a word of prayer real quickly. So I just want this to be received the way I believe God has given it to me this morning. Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you right now. Lord, we just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this word that we're about to impart of taking on your people. Lord Jesus, you increase in me, Lord Jesus, that I decrease. Lord Jesus, that you, Lord Jesus, that more of you, Lord Jesus, and you say what it is you have to say, Lord, to your people on this day, Lord Jesus, that they go forth and know, Lord Jesus, that validation, Lord Jesus, coming from you. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So if I was to use for a subject on this particular morning, I want to say, look up for validation. Look up for validation. If you got that out there on the social media land or whatever, just type it in. I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. I want to make sure that you hear me today. I might not do a lot of kicking and screaming. I might be more in teach mode. I'm probably going to be more of a preacher as I typically am. But the verses and things you see are right there on the side. Look up for validation. So as we start out here, I started out in Genesis, and I was giving you the story of Jacob. And Jacob had desired to have a wife, and he wanted the wife of the form of Rachel. And Rachel was beautiful, and the Bible talked about how beautiful Rachel was, and he just wanted her for himself. And he goes to her father, Laban, and it's customary that you go to the father to ask for the daughter's hand in marriage. And he tells him that, what, you can have my daughter in marriage, but there's a cost to be paid. See, it's very customary, amen, amen. It's very customary that individuals who want a marriage have to bring something to the table. You just cannot just show up and expect to marry somebody's daughter. You can just not show up and just say, hey, you know what? I don't have anything to bring to the table, and I just want to go ahead and I want to marry your young lady or your young girl. See, this is the reason why the male is supposed to go and ask the father, because the father gives some kind of a proof or some kind of validation that you can marry my daughter. And that's usually in the form of a yes. And what they're doing is they're observing that young man, and they looking at that young man. Can he take care of my daughter the way that I take care of her? Can he take care of her that she can make sure she doesn't have to be begging for bread? Can he watch her and keep her and make sure that she has all the things that she needs and maybe some of the wants? Come on, somebody. So this is what he's doing. And he goes to Laban and asks for Rachel's hand. And what he tells him is that there's a price to be paid. And the price to be paid is that you are to work for me for 7 years. Yes, 7 years. Now, if you notice here and you read inside the text, that you find that Jacob happily accepts this because he knows that he has not much to bring to the table at this point. So he's going to show it, and he's going to prove himself, or he's looking for validation, or he's going to prove himself of acceptance through his work for his father-in-law laboring. He's given himself 7 years to do so. How many of you know that when you look at a thing, it takes time? Now, before I go any further, you know, the teacher in me requires that I give you what a definition that we're working off of, so that we are all in the same space and we all under the same understanding, so that you can see where I'm actually coming from. So when we look at the word validation here, validation means to be valid. And if you're validating something, what you have done is that you have approved it. And if you have approved it, then that means you have given it what? Clear thought. You've looked at it and you'll probably spend some time observing. Hear what I'm saying? You've spent some time observing. True validation takes time. T-I-M-E. It takes time. It's not something that just happens overnight. I know some of us find ourselves in a space that we're always looking for validation, but we have had very little time. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm going to preach this thing today. So there's little time and validation that some of us have decided to spend. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2 and 15 that he says, study to show thyself approved. When we look at the word study, study means to take time to devote oneself to one concentrated effort, meaning that I've decided that I'm going to put aside all the other stuff I'm doing. I'm going to take aside all the other stuff, and I'm going to set aside some time that I'm going to do this continually, and I'm going to get it to a point that I'm going to just read and study this thing, and I'm just going to continue to just review this information until I get to a point that it gets into my spirit, or it gets into my mind, it gets into my head, that it's become secondary nature to me. You know, be honest, and I'm ashamed to say this, that I actually did not understand or really learn how to study until I was trying to get into a fraternity. Well, I didn't try, I got in. Amen. And believe it or not, because I was blessed that most things I could just remember. But for some reason, that stuff that they wanted me to learn, I had a hard time trying to remember some of that stuff. And I learned how to study. I really did. I gave myself to study. And I studied that stuff because me being a mathematician, I saw a lot of the things before they would happen. And I was just part of my gifting that God has blessed me with. You know, and I don't apologize for that. So I could just see things and I could figure them out on the fly. I can figure them out on the spot, and I can see patterns and things, and that's why I was end up being a math guy. You know, it was easy to me. But remembering facts and figures and all that stuff, I was terrible at. Mm-hmm. So I had to set aside a time where I actually had to pull that stuff in. I had to set aside a time where I actually had to put focus in on something. How many of you folk have ever focused on anything? I know many of us are asking for validation, and we're asking, Lord, why can I be in this space, Lord? Why is this happening for me, this and that? And I'm here to ask you today, what effort have you put in? I'm here to ask you today, what time have you put in? See, we want a lot of things, but we have not put in the time. You heard me say earlier today that, you know, that hard work beats talent when talent didn't work hard, because hard workers said that what I've decided that even though I might be small of talent in this particular area, that I am going to put in the time to make myself better. I'm going to put in the time to show myself approved. And the Bible says, you study to show that self approval, a workman. Work. It is not easy. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some effort on your part. It's going to take you doing some things on your part. You know, we look at things and we see other people with stuff and we wonder how they got things. Do you? I'm willing to tell you that most of you, if you spend some time and you talk to them, you'll find out there was some effort there. There was some focus going on. There was a focus time that they did some things. Mm-hmm. So in this focus and in this time, it's what called study. So you have validation. Validation says I approve. And study says that I put myself in that place that I'm willing to work to understand it better. So what we see here, we have Jacob that's doing what? A 7-year study with his father-in-law, Laban. So in 7 years, Laban has told him that in 7 years, you should be able to have my daughter, Rachel. Now, this is the thing where things get a little iffy. This is the thing where things get a little hairy. This is the thing where when we look in, where I'm telling you that we have to decide, brothers and sisters, in this day and time that we work in, that nobody's loyal anymore. And it's unfortunate because I believe that innately that God desires us to be loyal. In the Bible, they call it faithfulness. So it's a struggle because nobody's faithful anymore. There was a time and day that people be on jobs 16, 17 years and people would do what they supposed to do and they would take care of business and then they would get promoted and they'll get promoted on top of promoted. And then at the end of the day, they've been somewhere 30, 40 years, had a good career, had a great, you know, family life, and then they retire. But you and I know that the day that we live in now, that most of us have already changed jobs 3 to 4 times and some of us done it before 30. Because there's no sense of loyalty anymore. There's no sense of faithfulness anymore from the employer nor the employee. Come on, somebody. There's no sense of faithfulness no more from the employer or the employee. If you find yourself in a place today that you find somebody who's been on a job almost more than 5 years, that's almost like 30 now. Like the 5 is the new 30. Are y'all with me? Y'all know what I'm saying? Because employers change at the top of the dime now. You know, when they don't meet their bottom line, they'll get rid of you. But then sometimes now we have people that are in these spaces and they say, well, I'm not getting promoted. This is not happening. This is not happening for me. I've done the work and the employer's not being fair to me. And sometimes there are situations where the employer may be even unfair, which is what we're seeing right now. So as we look here, labor, the Bible said, and we read earlier right here in this message, what? That the Bible says that what? Laboring came in there and now what? Laboring, the 7 years have come and he came and Jacob's come to labor and say, labor, hey, my 7 years is up, man. I did what you asked me to do. I worked well for you. I studied to show myself approved. Mm-hmm. And I've done all the things that you asked for me to do. Mm-hmm. Yes. So now give me my wife. And what does he do? The Bible says when they got ready, you know, they called everybody in. They did all the popular circumstances. And you know what? He gave them somebody else. He gave them Rachel's sister, Leah. Now, if you know anything about Leah, you find out that Leah was not the best looking woman. The Bible calls her, said that she was tender-eyed, if I remember correctly. The Bible has some unique words that they use to explain things. They call her tender-eyed, meaning that she didn't look that good. You know, she made your eye look tender. However, we find out that even in the blessing of her being tender-eyed and her being used as a ploy by her father to take care of his business, that God even blesses her because he blesses her womb. He does. So even if you're being used despitefully, I'm here to tell you today, God will still bless you. So remember, you do this work as if we're doing it unto God, even if they despitefully decide to use you. So then he goes on and then he finds out what? Now, Rachel is there. So now Leah's there. And what happens is basically he's so drunk and inebriated and all this stuff. He gets married and he goes to consummate the marriage. For those who don't know what that is, that means he goes to have sex with her. Okay. And as he goes to have sex with her, he sleeps with her and he gets up the next morning and he pulls the covers back and he's like, what are you doing here? And she over there smiling with her tender eye. Right. So now Jacob has worked all this time. Remember, Jacob's name stands for trickster because Jacob was a trickster himself. So this is also a story of reaping what you sow because Jacob was what? He tricked his brother Esau out of his birthright. Now Jacob, what? Now he's being tricked by his father-in-law Laban to be able to marry Leah before Rachel, okay? So now Rachel is still not his wife. And what did they tell him to do? For you to get what you want, you got to work another 7 years. How many of you have found yourself in a space that people have told you to say, hey, look, do this and do that, and we're going to bless you. Do this or do that, or you do this, or you make sure you go get this degree, or you make sure you make this happen for the company, or you make this happen for the organization, or you make this happen for the church. Then all of a sudden, they only find that they renege on what they said. See, Laban knew before we even got to this situation, Laban knew that his daughter Rachel was, I mean, that his daughter Leah was not married. He also knew there was a strong possibility that she was not going to probably get married. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was plotting and he was scheming the entire time. Now, you know, it would have been nice if she would have gotten married before then, because then he didn't have to do what he did, but she didn't. And the fact of the matter is that his tradition made more, he was more committed to his tradition than doing what was right. Hear what I'm saying? He was more committed to his tradition than doing something right. What do you mean, Peter? Let me update this to 2020 for you. Some people we deal with are more loyal to their policies, to their way of doing things, than they are committed to doing the right thing. Woo! Let me let that sink in for a moment. There are some who are more loyal to their policies and their systems and things that they're doing than doing the right thing. Now, I find it odd that sometimes we find ourselves, brothers and sisters, in a place that doing the right thing does go against maybe our policies and our traditions and all this. So what do we do? Do we do the right thing, or do we stick towards our policies and our traditions? Because see, with our policies and traditions, they got us stuck in such a place that, you know, this is the way we've always done it. When you always done it this way, may have been wrong, or times have changed that require you to go back and say, let me look at how I did it here again, and maybe I need to update this, and maybe we need to change some things. Are y'all with me? Because sometimes these things are there, and we get stuck in them, and we end up hurting good people because we wanted to follow our tradition and not the right thing to do. As Spike Lee has famously said, do the right thing. Always do the right thing. And I know sometimes that may actually cost you. And this is what the Bible talks about, that what? That we are a living sacrifice. Sometimes doing the right thing is not going to be free. But I'm telling you that doing the right thing in time is going to serve you well. Whether you believe this old preacher or not is up to you. So he finds himself. So now what does he do? He goes in and he makes him work another 7 years, and then he gives him Rachel. So he does finally get Rachel. Now what we find, what does this have to do with validation? And I'm looking for validation. I'm here to remind you today, brothers and sisters, that we are to look up for our validation. Our validation is a approval. And when God approves, then we'll get where we need to be. I believe that firmly. We read Psalms 75 and 6 through 8. What does the Bible say? It says that promotion neither come from the north or the south or the east or the west, but that what? Promotion coming from God. That is he that putteth up one, and is he that's also what? Sitteth down one. That God has the power to what? He picks up somebody and he's able to sit them down. So if they're up, just believe and trust the fact that God, you know what you're doing, that you have them there. But Lord Jesus, my validation is coming from you. That what? As others look to accept me and I find myself in this place that I'm looking to be accepted, and I'm looking for proof and validation, that validation comes from you. The truth of the matter is this. I got 4 or 5 points I'm going to give to you, and I'm going to get out of here. Number one, you have to ask yourself this. Are you looking for validation from somebody who does not have the authority? Do you not know it takes authority to give validation? This is another reason why you look up for validation. It has to be somebody above you. My peer cannot validate me. If we are both in this space together, how can you tell me, yeah, man, you good, you great. I'm grateful for those who want to encourage you and all this stuff. But the truth of the matter is, they're on the same platform with you. They're on the same level with you. So what? Validation has to come from what? Above you. Meaning that the next person above me, if I was in a job situation, it'd be my supervisor. My supervisor could give validation. But my coworker, my peer, could not. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You know, if you and I are on the same level, how can I validate you? Because you do not have the authority to validate. See, some of us have gotten ourselves caught up because we're looking for validation from people who cannot give it. That's point number one. Stop looking for validation from those who can't give it. You can't look for validation beneath you. You can't look for validation to your right or your left. You only can look up for validation. Did y'all get that this morning? Point number two I want to make to you today, that validation comes from outside. See, you cannot be just validated by the people in your organization. This is why the Bible, I believe the Bible says that, he said, well, the prophet is without honor except where? In his own hometown. The people that are around him are not going to validate him. Why? Because they cannot see, as we used to say, you cannot see the forest for the trees. They cannot see it. Why? Because they are a part of the same system or the same familiarity. Do you not know there's a thing called familiar spirits? That you can be so familiar with people that you can't really help them. You have some people say, well, I can help everybody else's situation, but I can't help my own. Why? Because you are from the outside providing validation to that. Am I making sense to somebody? Am I helping anybody today? Amen. That's what my goal is. So you cannot, number two, you cannot get validation from inside. Validation comes from the outside. It's others who are doing what? And those who validate you, it takes time. Why? Because they're observing. The Bible said you should know the tree by what? The fruit it bears. I know it's an apple tree because I pick apples off of it. I know it's a pear tree because I got pears. But apple trees and pear trees do not just give pears overnight. It takes time. In the beginning, that tree doesn't bloom right away anyway. That tree has to be planted what? 5, 6, 7 years, and then it might grow a bloom. And then if it grows a bloom, then it might start to be what? Fruit. And remember, fruit is nothing but what? Those seeds. So this is what people say, just work where you are. The Bible calls us that, be occupied until I come. I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, just keep working where you are. Because validation is not going to come from them who you work with. It's coming from the outside. Did you get that? Well, what's the next part I want to give? There's a difference between part number three I want you to give. There's a difference between acceptance and validation. There's a difference between acceptance and validation. What do you mean, Pastor? Glad you asked. Validation approves, acceptance receives. Oh, you lost me there, Pastor. Let me look, what are you talking about? See, some of us may be looking for validation, but there's a number of us who really are looking for acceptance. What I mean by acceptance? Acceptance means that what I receive something. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you today that some of us, in our effort to get acceptance, we cancel our ability to be validated. Let me sink that in. That's a Mr. Miyagi moment right there. Listen, in your quest to be accepted, you cancel your ability to be validated. Pastor, what do you mean? This is what I mean. To be accepted, let's say, for instance, let's use a real world example. I have a group of friends that I want to be a part of the clique. We all have this longing for acceptance. We do. Part of the reason why I joined the fraternity. I ain't had to, but I wanted to be accepted, right? I wanted to feel like I had my group. You know, because I'm the oldest. And so I never really had any brothers or sisters to look up to. It was like they always looked up to me, and I had to kind of fend for myself and had to figure this thing out. And I'm still figuring it out. It ain't over yet, right? So with this, I was looking for a group of acceptance. So to be accepted by groups or accepted by people, sometimes They ask you to do things. They ask you to say things. They want to prove that you are down for the cause, that you are one of us. And sometimes in us doing this to be accepted, because what we want is, what are we taking? Remember, I told you that acceptance means that what you're receiving something. What am I going to receive? What I'm trying to receive from them is what? Their approval. And many of us, in our quest to get their approval, we lose our validation. What do you mean? Well, you end up doing something stupid. You end up saying something that wasn't true, that end up following you down the line. You end up going to the store, like, you know, they do these games. They go in there and they end up killing people, unfortunately. They end up stealing things and all this, just looking to be a part of the group. And now they have been caught. They've been labeled a thief. And really, they weren't a thief. They were just trying to gain this acceptance of this group. But now they're going to be labeled a thief the rest of their life. Because of that one act to be accepted, it's now going to affect their ability to be what? Validated, because I told you validation is approval over time. So as I look to validate you, when the opportunity comes for you to be validated, I'm looking, and what I do is I see all these indiscrepancies. I see stuff that you've been doing, and I'm like, this can't be this person, or this can't be approved. Why? Because it has some errors in it. It has some missteps in it. It has some giant missteps in it. Remember, it's approved from where? The outside. Validation comes from what? The outside. You see, if it's just your group of friends approving you, I mean, validating you, they can look over the things because they that you did to get accepted because they were the ones who told you to do it. Let that sink in for a moment. You understand what I just said to you? They are willing to overlook those things that you did if you was a thief and you got caught. Because I instructed you to do them. This is why, brothers and sisters, we got to be careful, even on our jobs. Sometimes our jobs ask us to do something silly. I know people don't want to hear this, but we almost have to be at the point that we're willing to walk away or do something. Because you doing something silly at your job. I'm helping somebody. I feel this. You do something silly at your job that you know you shouldn't have did, but you did it because you want to be accepted by the group. And you do it. And now you get caught. And you get and the internal group, they let it go. Why? Because you're working for them and they told you to do it. And they know they told you to do it. But all of a sudden, when the auditors come, oh, come on, somebody. When they come to audit your financial records and they say, what happened to this money? What happened to this? And then everybody start pointing at you. Well, she did it, or he did it. Now, that thing is laying at your feet. You don't have the job. Now you're without a job, and what do? Now you have to do what? Now you got to go somewhere else to try to find a job, and now they're going to be reviewing your record to validate you. Yep. To validate you, and you know what they're gonna say? We see that you've done this, and we're worried about you maybe doing that potentially over here. Therefore, we love your skill set, we love your talent, but your integrity is a little questionable. So since your integrity is a little questionable, we're gonna have to go with somebody else. Watch this. This is the part that gets us is validation. We're gonna have to go with somebody who is less talented than you. Woo! I don't know about you, but anything that burns you up more or anything that can get under your skin more is that you didn't get a job or you didn't get a promotion, you didn't get a situation or something because of something you did in your past. You have nobody to blame but you. Or even that you lose the position to someone you know without a doubt. And this it is what it is, that they're less talented, but they fit better. Sometimes they fit better because they're looking for somebody to do the things that I just told you not to do. Oh, that's another story. I'm trying to help somebody today, and I'm helping anybody. So I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And I'm here to tell you, it may cost you, and it may cost you dearly, But we know that God is faithful. That he's faithful, he's faithful. Because the Bible says in Jeremiah, he says what? That I know the plans that I have for you to what? Have good success. So that means you can be successful and it be bad. You can be successful and you be lying and cheating and stealing. There's a lot of those in this world. But if you want good success, to know that I ain't cheating anybody to get anything I got. That I took care of God's people and I did the right thing because it was the right thing to do. Even if it costs me. So brothers and sisters, this is why we cannot be looking at it, but we got to look up for our validation. The authority from God, because he has the power to set up one. He just told us to what? Study to show ourselves approved. A good what? Workman, rightly dividing the word of God. So that means what? You work, you study, you do an excellent job in that space. And when God is ready, I got to trust and believe. I can't see it sometimes. I can't see the forest for the tree. But I got to believe that God has a ram in the bush. I got to believe that God has something set up for me. I got to believe that, you know what, Lord, no matter what goes on, Lord, you know what went on. Lord, you know what they tried to get me to do. And Lord, you're gonna fix it at the end of the day. And this is where my faith has to kick in. Because even though Jacob paid for his past sins in being a trickster. And he had to work twice as hard to get his wife. And his father-in-law didn't do right by him. But at the end of the day, God blessed him double for that trouble. He got two people. I mean, he got two wives. He ended up having what? The tribe of the children of Israel. He changed his name from Jacob to Israel. Oh, come on, somebody. Now all his sons end up being their own tribes. He's also the father of Joseph and Reuben. And through his loins, we find where that Jesus Christ comes on the scene through the tribe of Judah. So I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, despite all this going on, despite what you see, it seems like those people are getting ahead. That they got things, they shucking and jiving, they cheating on the taxes, they cheating this, they cheating God, they cheating here. There's no payday is coming after a while. If not, then God has to apologize and make right to each and every one of us who's kept the faith based on that content. Now, my Bible reminds me that God can do anything but what? Fail. He cannot lie. So that tells me, relax. Know that he has it. And then in due season that we shall reap if we faint not. So get your eyes off your brother on your left or your right. Don't look down on anybody, but you look up for your validation to know that it's he that approves us. It's he that approves us. We don't want to lose our approval from him because we got caught up trying to be accepted by everybody. Everybody's not going to like you. As much as I know that was a hard pill for me to swallow. I'm like, why would they not like me? What have I not done? Found myself trying to do things to make them like me. And all it did was push them even further away. And I found myself getting further and further from where I'm supposed to be in my effort to be accepted. For what? For them? For somebody who couldn't even do anything for me because they're on the same level or even beneath me? And I'm not saying beneath in a belittle way, but you understand what I'm getting at. Got to be careful, brothers and sisters. Do not give up your validation or the opportunity to be validated because you're struggling with acceptance. Then look up, for our validation comes from God. I hope that this message has been a blessing to you on this morning. I poured my heart out before you today to know that, you know, we've all struggled with validation. I included, and sometimes I still find myself in that space, and I might need to get this tape and record it a couple times myself. But to know that God is good and that he's able, and that we can hold on, know that it's coming. And it's coming how he desires. Amen. I'm done. God bless you all. I love you all.